Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 641. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays, and we're not starting with a meandering opening for a change.
No, because we might close the show with a meandering close. So, you never know.
Oh, I almost forgot. I need to set off the Stunt Granny fireworks that are as deadly as a death match.
Oh, dude, that's...
Okie dokie.
Wait, I thought we were starting with NXT. Wait a second. Throw a wrench in plans.
Oh, well, I figure I may as well have a gimmick, and that's what I'm going to go with.
All right. Yeah. That, I mean, what more can be said? I mean...
Well, Chris and I covered it, and I did find that hilarious, I guess. You were kind of talking about the reset, and they definitely were trying to reframe that whole situation and take ownership of it. But no matter how hard they tried, like, I'm just sitting there going, you guys failed, and you failed big, and you can't, like, owning it is cool, but that still doesn't make up for it.
To me, it doesn't even seem like they owned up to it. Watching that explanation, like, all right, all the lip service we got, and Tony Khan's gonna, yeah, it means it's good. I broke open a brand new beer I hadn't tried before. She hates it, so I know it's good. yeah. Anyways, we'll get to that at the end. But like, Tony Khan came, I was like, this will be addressed on the show. Apparently, Moxley and Omega were pissed off that it happened. Of course, they're mad. All this stuff. And then what comes out? And I always go back to this. AEW is supposed to be the different wrestling show. If you didn't watch wrestling and you slapped a WWE logo on the AEW broadcast, you would have no idea. Like, it's just, oh, okay, this is what wrestling is.
You know, no, because there was a tweet from last week, I think, that I sent out, and I'm like, oh, the WWE production team isn't the only one that loves to miss action.
Mm-hmm. Oh, brutal. But it just wasn't so bad this week. But it was still bad?
No. It's not as bad as it has been. Like, AEW is probably better at that than the WWE, but they still have their moments that they cut it just the completely wrong time into a terrible angle to catch the action.
They're both mediocre. They're just awful in different things. Like, WWE doesn't miss the big shot. Most of the time, they do not miss the big shot.
Uh-huh.
AEW consistently misses the big shot. Always. They did it a couple times in this, but I'm like, I'm just getting used to it, I guess. It's also just, it's never going to change. So, especially after, all right, so Sunday, the fireworks supposedly worked. Then they went to the match, it didn't work. Okay, whatever. And then you keep going. But they were told we're going to address this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you're expecting Tony Khan to actually show up on TV and be like, hey, things didn't go as planned. And I don't know why. And, you know, I'm sorry. We promised you something, it didn't happen. Then you have Omega come out with Don Callis and make fun of Tony Khan. And I know Tony Khan doesn't want to be a character on TV, but, you know, it's your company, you're the owner, you're the guy that writes this stuff, supposedly. You take your beating, and if it comes from the form of Kenny Omega and Don Callis doing it, then let them be the voice of fans or whatever. And then own up to the fact that they purposely ruined it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that probably would have been the best angle to go with.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of them coming out and going, well, if you blew it to smithereens, we'd win. Like, one... Anybody who watched that for the exploding deathmatch knows no one ever gets blown up.
Oh,
like, I don't think that there was an entire audience that bought this pay-per-view that had never watched wrestling before. You know? So we already know that no one's going to explode forever. The ring doesn't even explode, for that matter.
Oh, no. It doesn't even fall apart.
No, exactly. So... It's kind of like when Omega won the title. and everyone's losing their minds. Well, it wasn't that egregious. But this was, and this is where you needed to own up, but then you start in the build-up, and I guess they're heels, so maybe this is like the douchey part of it, but I'm like, okay. And then, was I supposed to forget about this when Don Callis and Kenny Omega are 69ing in the ring?
And like, they were saying 69 me? Or yes. Callis was?
And I'm like, what's going on? It was just bizarre.
I really have not gotten the Kenny Omega character. Like, I'm cool with, and I think he can work well as a douchey heel, but I don't understand what they're going for at all. Like, I don't get it. I just don't.
No, I don't understand either. All right, we'll start with AEW. Fuck it. So, I don't get it either, because he's like this, you know, chicken shit, whatever. He's like supposed to be a douche, but then it's like so unbelievably over the top to where you're like, okay, is he trying to entertain me or just trying to annoy me? Because there's a way to be a heel, you know, and not get people to like you. And then the other thing with the Kenny Omega stuff, and this is actually AEW as a whole, that's why it was kind of nice last night. They reset a bunch of stuff, except for Miro and Chuck Taylor. That's still going. Like, what?
Although I would really hope that that's the end of that one.
Doesn't it have to be? Unless somehow Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy lose, and Chuck is his butler forever. Like, would they actually drag this out until Beretta comes back? Or, I'm sorry, Trent comes back? Like, oh, man.
Which is still a long time away. Like, if I'm not mistaken, right? He's in that 9-month category.
I don't know. It's a torn pack. So, I mean, depending on how bad it was, I guess. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to, like, how long he was out. I just thought it was a while.
Yeah. That's why I feel like the number was. I could be wrong. I'm too lazy to look it up right now.
Yeah, but no. But they started over with a bunch of stuff. Thought that was really fresh. And then they just had this Omega stuff. But one of the problems they're facing right now, Kenny Omega's next opponent is either Rich Swann or Moose. And that's for a title unification match. Which, did that even get mentioned on the show?
Not that I remember. I do feel like I saw the graphic at some point. And that is, well, a confusing situation, to say the least. Since, I don't want to say it's been a one-way relationship, but again, like, I really have not gone back to watch Impact. Even though I downloaded Twitch, now more often when I go on there, I'm watching Dungeons & Dragons campaigns and not Impact, so.
You fucking nerd. God damn it. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, it's a real thing.
You can't throw something like that out in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, Impact had a bump in viewers that first week or maybe 2 weeks or something like that, and I feel like they've kind of settled back into their kind of position of where they're at. So,
well, I mean, their viewership has increased, and that pay-per-view they sold with Omega on it was actually like their highest one ever, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. I guess I didn't realize that their ratings had continued to stay up.
Yeah, they stay. I mean, come on. They're still
relative to what they were doing. That's fine. You know, I mean, Impact is what it is. Like, that station, access just isn't in that many households, so you're only going to get so many eyeballs to start with.
Well, even if access wasn't more, what's the show that's on there? I mean, even before, like, New Japan used to be on, but if you didn't watch New Japan, you didn't give a rat's ass about Access TV.
No.
You know? I mean, they have some pretty sweet concerts on once in a while.
Yeah, they did. But they did seem to be heavy into the music, which there were a lot of things where I'm like, man, that sounds really interesting, but it was never enough to commit to watching it, you know?
We got the late great Eddie Money. We got to watch one of his final concerts.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's all. That's really about the end of that story. It was sad, but no, I don't understand. They've never clearly defined what the hell's going on with Impact and AEW.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
So I don't know if they're just trying to blow this off because honestly, if you're Impact, you already had Kenny Omega pin Rich Swann at the pay-per-view. Then if there's a unification bout, I can't imagine AEW allowing Kenny Omega to lose the title.
Uh-oh.
You know? So if you're Impact, you look like a bitch if it's Moose and he loses, because that's two different champions he beat. Then the option is, well, it's a double disqualification or something dumb like that, you know?
Right.
Which I think, isn't an AEW, if you get disqualified, you lose the title, don't you?
I do not think that is the case.
Okay, I wasn't sure actually, because they, as far as I know, they've only done one disqualification match.
Oh
no, two last night. Wasn't the second one last night? Oh no, never mind. I got the shows crossed up. Never mind. That was Caden Carter and
and Xia Li.
Xia Li, yeah. But no, so that's one of the problems I've got with AEW right now. But overall, I liked how they've reset stuff. And they had some good matches.
Yeah,
they had some good ones, and we all know what the really horrible one was. So,
the one with Rey Fénix, I'm imagining, is the horrible one. Yeah, that match was
the worst on the show. Ugh. Now the Fénix match. Was it Nick Jackson? Yeah,
Matt.
No, it's Matt. Sorry, that match was fine. You know? Okay, they did a bunch of stuff, jumped all over, and, okay, cool. It forwards it along to the, you know, the title match, all that stuff. So, but yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure, what were all the angles? All right, my favorite angle of the night, Lance Archer interrupting Sting. You know why? Because good. Lance Archer's in his 30s. And Sting's not. So enough. Enough of this. And I was seriously hoping he was going to throw Sting off the stage. But
well, that's one where I'm like, yeah. I was like, I hope Sting's doing the job for him.
Here's the thing. Why does Sting have to be on every week?
I have no idea.
He's literally been on every week, I think, since he debuted.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has been too, in some capacity or another.
Yeah, and it's like, enough. Your other wrestlers don't even appear every week.
Right. You got 2 hours of TV. Not everyone's going to be on every week.
And an obscenely large roster.
Yes, as we noted last week.
In a 47-hour AEW After Dark, or AEW Dark, and now they got AEW Evolution, Elevation, which sounds just like Dark, but only an hour.
It just sounds way more architect-y to say Elevation than Dark.
Yeah, it's brutal. And, I thought last night, though, that being said, they did a very good job of mixing in who I think, the people they want to focus on. So, there was a clear hierarchy to me, established last night. So, if you weren't out last night, you're going to be kind of a jobber, outside of Miro and Kip Sabian. Not a jobber, but, not, you know.
Yeah, they're not in the big plans.
Right. Because, I mean, look at everybody that was on there. Like, Sean Spears hasn't been on TV for months, and now back-to-back weeks he's on. I mean, that was just a short thing, but damn.
Like, yeah.
Jack Swagger's back. Sammy's back. I mean, I don't know. It was
that ending segment there with the Inner Circle splitting with MJF and MJF having his own group now that's him, Wardlow, and FTR, and I'm going to just keep on trying to forget that Tully Blanchard's involved.
Yeah, don't forget Sean Spears.
Spears. That angle really just wasn't working the way they thought it was going to work.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like they wanted that to be a long... Like, to me, that seems like if you're going to upset the apple cart in the Inner Circle, like, especially after that long courting process, I expected a long stay of MJF in the Inner Circle and for it to kind of take some time. But holy smokes, like, they pulled the trigger on this... being over, and that I always talk about how they're like New Japan a lot, and that's one of those things that the WWE doesn't really like to do, which is the whole faction thing.
Yeah.
But New Japan loves factions, and I mean, we get, you know, you get the Inner Circle back to a manageable amount, I guess. Without MJF and Wardlow in there, it helps a little bit, but, you get another faction and, their booking definitely is heavily, New Japan influenced in that regard.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't mind like these kind of factions though, cause it gets everybody on TV. At least you don't have to wrestle every week. You don't have to talk.
Oh,
you know, it's that sort of thing. So I was like, all right, this isn't so bad. I just think 5-man groups are kind of weird.
Yes.
You know, because you got if it was Wardlow, FTR, and MJF, okay. But Sean Spears and Tully just seem like, what are they doing here?
Agreed. Well, it's just that, like, even Sammy makes sense, and I guess Jack Swagger makes sense in the fact that he's the muscle. But then having an actual tag team... I guess Santana and Ortiz are the ones that really kind of upset the apple cart for the Inner Circle. Like, as much as I like them, like, they're the ones that kind of make that group odd. Because the other two guys have regular roles. Sammy was... You know, the protege to be under Jericho, Swagger's the muscle, and then, yeah.
Well, it made sense. To me, it still makes sense, because Swagger's also doing... Well, I'm sorry, keep calling him Swagger. Jake Hager.
Yeah, I don't care. We run a podcast, we can call him Swagger.
But he keeps going back and forth to the MMA stuff, too. So he could never put, like, a full-time commitment in.
Oh,
so it makes sense to me. Like, he was the muscle. He was, you know, there protecting the outside stuff. And then you could have had, like, they had a perfect Four Horsemen scenario set up, and then they just didn't follow it. Jericho the champion, Sammy going for the TNT title, and Santana Ortiz going after the tag titles. And then you got Swagger, damn it, you got Hager out there, you know, just enforcing stuff. Like, remember the Midnight Express had Jim Cornette and Big Bubba Rogers at one point. So, you know, it never hurts having the heavy around, which I guess this is kind of what Wardlow's going to be. If I guess in that example, it'd be Wardlow, but with, you know, FTR. And then here's the thing that I have a problem with. And so when the lights went out and they were going to turn on, you know, they turn back on, FTR's out there, all this. Okay. I just thought to myself, like, man, well, one, I was hoping it would have been the Dynasty from MLW, but whatever. You don't even know who it is. Don't worry about it. But It was MJF's old group.
Okay.
Alexander Hammerstone and the poor other guy.
Yeah, because the AEW roster isn't big enough. They needed three more people.
Right. Yeah. And also MLW's on the BN network, and, or was, and YouTube. So it's like, I just not disparaging, obviously, but come on. Impact's least on cable. I guess BN's a cable network, but anyways. But when it happened, I just went, I don't know if MJF needs a group. Like, he's utterly unlikable. He doesn't try to be likable. He doesn't try to make friends, which is I think is what rang hollow with this whole Jericho thing. And you have Wardlow, who doesn't really want to be there, but MJF's paying him. And MJF's telling him, you have to be here. I'm paying you.
Oh, right.
Seems like the two of them, to me, worked a lot better than putting them in a group, you know?
Agreed. Yeah, he does not seem like a character that should be in a group. But,
No.
I mean, I
know he's going to be the leader, but FTR's not exactly followers, nor is Shawn Spears. So, I don't get it, you know? But you know what? That's called the hook. We'll see how it works out next week, you know?
They're both unwieldy groups, but at least they are groups of five, so
yeah,
we can have a silly 10-man tag match, I would imagine, at some point. And I'm sure we will have all kinds of variations thereof between then and now.
Yeah. So, no, well, I'm guessing Jericho's gone for a while because he got his ass handed to him. Swagger. All right. Hager is either a really good actor or, you know what, I couldn't keep him straight as a goddamn revival. Which one's Cash Wheeler?
Full beard.
Okay. Wheeler. Oh, no. So it was
Dax Cash Harwood Wheeler, is the bald.
Scott Dawson.
Okay. Dawson, yeah.
He crushed Swagger with that bottle. And I was like, why is Hager wearing sunglasses? And I'm going, that's why he was wearing sunglasses. He belted him with that. I was like, holy shit. And Hager didn't move the rest of the time. And yeah. I was thinking, wow, did he mess up? Like, because I know it's still sugar glass, but you can get it in your eye and especially getting hit that hard with it. God damn.
Yeah, that was one where I'm like, oh man, he over-delivered. As opposed to the explosions. I was like, oh my god. I think he caught him at a funky angle. And it just really just went everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, Hager dropped, immediately dropped to the ground. I've never seen him sell something that well before. And again, not disparaging, I've literally never seen him sell something that well before. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a great job of being dead after that.
Yeah. And it's just like the show ended. What this really reminded me of, and this is pretty big praise, after WrestleMania 14, is that when Austin, was it 16? Whenever Austin beat Michaels for the title the first time, and then the next day, Xbox shows up, and the New Age Outlaws, you know, yeah, throw them in the trash can. That's how the show ended. That was the vibe I got off of this. I was like, all right, hey, we just established our new top faction here. And we're off and running. I'm like, okay. I'm on board with it.
Yeah, it does seem like I think everyone was in at least a little bit of a holding pattern until we got more crowds. And
yeah,
think that people, including, you know, AEW and WWE, are kind of maybe ready to break out their A material a little bit more now. And I mean, I think that obviously there is just a pay-per-view, and are they saying how often they're doing the pay-per-views in AEW? Like, is it quarterly?
Yeah, it's just quarterly. Yeah.
You know, that obviously, since you just had a pay-per-view, it's kind of a great time to do a reset. And, you know, everyone has had kind of a rough past year because of, you know, travel restrictions and sicknesses due to the whole pandemic. So I think that they're ready to kind of maybe get in the flow a little bit more. Like they, cause what was I seeing? It was episode 76 or something like that. And 52 of the 76 episodes have been during a pandemic, you know?
Oh, wow. Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, at least the review that I'm reading says episode 76. So I mean, you know, I traveled this weekend last year, and then the border between Ohio and Pennsylvania was closed after that. The weekend after, or the day, like a couple of days after that.
Yeah, we were out drinking in Charleston at this time last year. It was fun. No cares in the world. Making fun of people on TV for getting in line to buy groceries. Then we come home, we have no groceries in the house, and we're screwed. Panicky fucks. So, anyways.
I mean, they were panicky fucks. But, so, yeah, anyway, but they've spent the majority of their time with kind of a jacked up roster. Like, I'm not completely absolving them of their storyline problems, but I do think that maybe things are going to run a little more smoothly and a little more like they thought they were going to moving forward.
Hopefully
from this point on, you know, because they've gotten the international talent back for the most part, which has helped out, and it does give them a couple other people to, because I mean, I would think that there's going to be some Pac Omega feud at some point with the championship involved.
Man, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where they're going with this Omega stuff.
Oh well, it's not going to be anytime soon. I guess I should say that. Because it does not seem like he's next up on the docket.
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Who is, I guess, Moxley and Kingston, but it's like, okay, we're going to retread that again. So, I mean, eventually it's got to get to Hangman. I mean, that's what it seems like. It's the destined match is Hangman and Omega. It's got to be.
I would not mind some type of feud in between then. And like, I could see that happening at the next pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
I would hope.
Because they'll have, a TV special or two in between?
Right. But I really think they're going to, if they ever go the Hangman Omega route, they're going to do it in front of a packed house. Because it's the only way it works. If you do it in front of like 500 people, and Hangman beats him, it's like, okay. You know, it's like it's the Drew McIntyre thing.
Oh.
Drew McIntyre's done nothing wrong except have no crowds. And now, unfortunately, he's gotten supplanted by Bobby Lashley, who is back to being TNA awesome Bobby Lashley. So, but no. What else did they set up on this show? Oh, Scorpio Sky turned heel, even though he was kind of a heel anyways.
Yeah, they had definitely been playing him as a heel. I think he was on commentary last week.
Yeah.
And they certainly seem to be hinting at him moving in that direction.
Yeah. And unless I missed something, they've totally ignored the fact that SCU is no longer together.
Oh.
You know?
No, I guess I didn't even know that. I'm going to guess this took place on BTE also.
No. That's what I'm getting at. They just aren't together. There's been no explanation, not even mentioned.
Oh, I got you.
Those three were together. They're the first tag team champions. And now, okay, whatever's going on. But that match with him and Darby Allin was really good. It's a damn shame that Darby's not going to last another 3 years the way he goes in the ring.
Yeah.
Because he's really good.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that, you know, I do think that you have more of a problem in the women's department. Suspending the disbelief. But Darby Allin is, to me, yeah, like, he's one of those guys that, like, you know, Ray, obviously, in his pre-gassed up WWE days, back in WCW, like, you just, like, that was one of those guys, your jaw was just dropping, and you could see him competing against, not that he competed against bigger guys back then as much. But, I mean, it did end up coming to pass that he took on big guys. And he, you know, despite his size, he always made it, he makes it look believable. And Darby Allin does it, you know, he even does something that, I mean, what, does he weigh an extra 20 pounds compared to Marco Stunt?
Dude, I've seen Darby Allin in person. He's shorter than me. And, I mean, I was about twice his size. So, Marco Stunt, I'm pretty sure I'm about 47 times the size of that guy. But
yeah, well, okay, that's, that's a little overkill. But, yeah, Darby Allin does, just his presentation, his selling, and how he just really throws his body into all of his offense. Yeah. Really, it makes it more believable against those bigger guys. And I mean, honestly, like, really, Marco Stunt is probably about the only guy smaller than him in the company. So, like, he's got to do something to make it more believable. And he does a great job of doing that.
Yeah. And the thing is, another thing that's really good is the announcing for his matches. Because one, they come across as, like, genuinely a fan. Like, wow, look at what he's doing. And then two, they always get over how tough he is.
Oh.
And that's always the key with a guy that's smaller taking on a guy, you know, Scorpio didn't, like, outweigh by 300 pounds or something. But he's clearly the bigger dude.
Yeah.
So the important part together is, all right, yeah, he's outweighed and out-muscled, but he's way tougher. Which is what they always miss with Rey Mysterio when he was WWE champion. Remember how many times he lost when he had the title? It's like they never established him as being anything but the small guy. Where all you have to do is just keep beating into the head how tough they are. So yeah, so it's not going to take some of these incredible moves to put him away. Which I always complain about that sort of thing, where it's like, that should have put him away. But with him, it's different. Because they've said.
Yeah, they've established that it's different.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great what they do with him. And, you know, I don't know what his ceiling is, but, man, it's fun to watch his stuff. But
yeah,
he also didn't do anything really stupid either. So, like a coffin drop on the apron, or the coffin drop off the top rope through a table, through whatever. I was going to say something exploding, but we all know it doesn't work. So, whatever. But yeah. But no, so I don't know. I enjoyed AEW for a change.
Yeah,
but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the absolute worst match I've seen in a long time. Topping last week's debacle of a women's match. Okay, so I texted you ahead of time.
Yeah.
What did you think? And I wish I wouldn't have texted you. Because, you know, the subliminal thing, just put it in your ear.
Well,
what did you think watching?
That is one that I will beg off on actually answering that. Simply because I only saw the highlights. And it looks like the match went for almost 8 minutes. Seeing three of it at most is not not enough to give a full evaluation of the ladies involved. So I mean,
it's very easy.
I like I already like Thunder Rosa, Hikaru Shida, Britt Baker, and Nyla Rose. So we got four people that I have faith in. I'm just gonna say that there are two ladies involved that I'm not as familiar with.
Yeah, and I hope not to be as well. I'm tired of the one girl, Rio, I don't care what her name is, doing that stupid miming bullshit. And then, what's the champion's name? I forgot her name already. I keep wanting to call her Kushida, and it's not.
What, Maki Ito?
Thank you. No, no, no. No, no. Who's the AEW champion?
Oh, Hikaru Shida.
Thank you. That's why I keep calling her Kushida. But anyways, she has to stand in the corner. Is this jackass is doing the same bullshit they did last week? I mean, this is your champion. You're making her sit there in the corner while this chick dances and then just comes over and hits her. And then I think it was before that she was doing the same stupid slaps. Uh-huh. And I'm like, this is god-awful. Get her out of the ring. Now, I've heard nothing but good things about Maki Ito. So, all right, cool. She came out on Dark. I'm sorry, not Dark, but at the pre-show, which was on YouTube. So I got to see a little bit of her. She comes out singing like a pop song.
Uh-huh.
And she's really singing it. And I'm like, what is this? Like, is it what? Like, she's really doing this, so you can't do like a lip sync thing. Well, then she comes out Monday or Wednesday, and she's doing the same shtick. And I'm like, oh my god, this is no better. But then when they cut her off, and then she picked it back up, started singing again while everyone was fighting, I thought that was kind of funny. Like, here's this delusional woman up on stage singing while all these other women are beating each other up. Like,
oh, that's pretty funny character work.
And then when it just broke down from there, she's hitting, I can't remember who she was hitting. She was supposedly hitting someone with the microphone, and she's barely touching her head.
Oh.
Like, brutal stuff. And then in the ring, she's as unbelievable as Riho is. But she's smaller than Riho and not as good. Like, I had heard so much about this woman that I was like, cool, let's see her in action. Oh, boy. She's not good. She is not good at all. And outside of that goofy singing gimmick,
yeah,
that's got, what, a shelf life of 47 minutes? Like, no. I don't understand the appeal of some of these people. Just flat out. She's definitely one of them. She can't work.
Yeah, I definitely caught, there were enough people online that I saw mentioning her that they liked the potty mouth that she had. And I was like, oh, whatever, I'll give her a follow if she's popular. And I'm just like, oh, I guess I see the appeal. But if that's all you got, then yeah, that's all you got. That doesn't make you a good, having a good character does not make you a good wrestler necessarily.
Well, I mean, it's the whole thing doesn't make sense. And it's just, it's weird to me. Because,
well,
she's an adult supposed to be like a teenage girl. And like, that's creepy. Like, what was it? The Speak Out movement or whatever it was for the wrestling ladies? Like, this is like creepy shit. And if we learned anything from the Jory Ryan stuff, that sometimes the fake part of this is more real than we want. So it's like,
yeah,
man, I don't know. It's just that weird like fetishization of like Japanese culture and stuff. Like,
oh,
okay. Like, the Americans love it. Like, dude, I only date Japanese girls. She's so hot. Like, you're weird, man. Like, no, keep that shit away from me. And yes, I've heard of hentai, so keep that shit away from me too. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's weird.
Oh, yeah, I mean, well.
Especially if, all right, and just sticking on
Japanese
that tip.
Japanese porn is weird, so.
Yeah, true. But it's like you have Io Shirai, Asuka, I'm going to name an Asian wrestlers.
Well, Zia
Lee, they're all this, like, they're normal. Well, I guess not normal, but
I was gonna say, you know, well, at least two of
but
them.
But they're acting their fucking age, at least.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if that's what you want to roll with, I'm fine with it. But it's also one of those things that I've seen it enough that it doesn't do anything for me either.
Wait, what do you mean?
I'm not excited by her gimmick. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, not at all.
You know, because all the, like, I kind of get a chuckle out of stuff, but it's just, like, this is stuff that I've, like, seen so many times before that it's not really doing that much for me. So it's just like, okay. Like, I guess I kind of understand the appeal, but I'm like, haven't you people, you know, had this in your life before? Is it that new and that fresh that it's really resonating with you?
Yeah, and it's like, she's so cute, and then she swears makes her cuter. And I'm like, no one ever said the South Park kids were cute, by the way. So it's like, this has been like a been there, done that sort of thing. And I'm like, this can't even be an age difference because South Park is still on. Everyone knows what South Park is. So I don't understand what the luster is with this woman, because she swears, like,
no.
So, but these are also the same crowds who, when someone says call someone a bitch, they're like, oh, so maybe that's part of it too.
Well, and they also, speaking of the crowd, and it's something that I wanted to bring up. I was almost in tears when they started chanting "You deserve it" at Christian Cage. When he picked up the AEW championship, and I'm like, huh? Yeah. Like, he just literally got here.
Yes.
He hasn't, like, that's when you've been waiting. A, he was a heavyweight champion, and it was actually TNA at that point, right? It was, yeah, he was never there when it was Impact.
Right, right.
Okay, so he was a TNA heavyweight champion. So he's been a heavyweight champion at an organization, at least at that time, at least on par with AEW. Like, I mean, they had a real TV deal at that point, I think, when Christian was over there.
I believe he was, yes. I believe they had a real TV deal.
So, yes. You know, I mean, he was champion on a pretty big platform. And, yeah, he came back to the WWE and hit the Vince McMahon ceiling, but the injury really has kept him out the majority of this time.
Yeah, like 7 years.
That chant just doesn't make any goddamn sense. Like, and that is another one of those things that is still a little bit of a problem in AEW, that the top of their roster just doesn't have much build up, and someone like Christian almost needs to be there for them to have a feud for Kenny Omega to move on to.
But isn't that the? Like,
but I think that's a bad idea, honestly, to burn it already.
When they mentioned it was Christian Cage, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Not the, you know, the mind blowing thing they said it was going to be. Well, then I went, oh, okay, he'll slide right into the middle. Because if he had just come off of losing the WWE Championship or something, then you can justify him coming in and immediately, you know, go for their largest title, whatever else, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he's been out for 7 years. Like, damn. Why is he? Because he was in the Royal Rumble. Like, what criteria are you using to, like, you know, set this feud up? It doesn't make any sense. Which is kind of like a theme for this stuff, anyways. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, And it goes back to, like, am I going to enjoy a Kenny Omega versus Christian Cage match? Yes. Yes, I am. Does the setup make any sense? Not a fucking lick of it.
Yeah, like, but it's, if, I don't know. I don't understand why this is okay for Christian to come in and get this prominent spot being a WWE guy on top of not wrestling 7 years and being retired. Like, shouldn't the AEW fans be like, wait a minute, why aren't you doing this instead?
Wait a minute, isn't this exactly what the WWE would do if they respected him more, i.e. Edge, you know, like the exact situation that's happening with Edge?
Yeah, but to me it just screams like, we have our own guys. Why are we taking WWE guys? I mean, Miro made sense to me. FTR, obviously, they made sense.
Yeah.
Sting, no. It hasn't shown really their viewership and their ratings that people are tuning in more to see him. What are the WWE guys that they take? I don't even remember. I know I'm missing something.
Well, what's his name? Sean Spears was on that list.
Yeah. But at the time, that made sense.
Yeah.
You forget that everyone's like, oh, finally, he's going to be free and go do stuff, and then just nothing.
Yeah, he has gone nowhere quickly in AEW, too. And, I mean, we went over Zack Ryder already being gone. Like, I guess I thought that he was going to be a long-termer there of his friendship with Cody, honestly. But, and I'm trying to think, yeah, I think that's about the big list. Because it's not as long as you think. And Paul White obviously is kind of in his own category since he's not really pushing himself as a performer at this stage.
No, and him being an announcer, and he'll make a good ambassador. I just, if like they barely even mentioned him last night, like he wasn't even on. So that was good.
Oh.
Good. That's a good start. So, but no, I don't understand. And I don't know. With a roster that big, they keep adding guys. When they said a long time ago, well, we're not going to grab every guy that comes our way. Like, really? You're not? Okay, if you say so. I mean, there's obviously some they haven't, but there's plenty they have. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, AEW.
Unfortunately, they have been way too judicious about who they pick up from the women's end of wrestling, which could perfectly lead into NXT talk. There, NXT women are hoarding so many good wrestlers that they're like, "Fuck it." We're going to give them tag team titles.
Okay, look. One, it's absolutely unnecessary. I don't know if they got some deal worked up where they didn't want the champions going to different shows, but it's absolutely unnecessary. Just have the women's tag titles there. Like, don't even mention them on Raw and SmackDown. That way you don't have to worry about it, you know?
Oh.
But outside of that,
yeah,
what a goofy chain of events.
Why
not just name them the inaugural women's NXT tag champions after they win the Dusty Cup?
That part is the biggest head scratcher to me. It's just like, it's only been 3 weeks. When was that they did the Dusty Cup final?
I cannot remember. It was during the takeover. How's that? So I think you're right, though. It might only be 3 weeks.
Yeah. So this one I'm actually interested enough to look up. But in the meantime, while I'm looking for it, I'll keep on going with my point. Yeah, like, it wasn't that long ago that that they awarded this thing. And why didn't you think to award that then? Yeah, February 14th. Yeah. So I guess it's been a month. But like, it really, this idea just came up after this, or like, why? I'm not sure why Adam Pearce kind of screwing Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez is the real impetus. Like, that to me seems like an overreach if that's the impetus to make the tag team titles.
Yeah.
Like, it makes way more sense to have them awarded at the end of the Dusty Cup, and it's just like, on it, like, you had to have had that conversation when you came up with the women's Dusty Cup, right? Like, I mean, that had to have been on the table.
Yeah. It had to. You don't make title belts overnight, you know?
Oh.
So, I appreciate them trying to explain it, but it rang hollow because, well, it doesn't take, you know, you can't get a seamstress back there with giant leather and gold and, you know, I want to say etching kit, someone I'm looking for, but, you know, it's, that just doesn't happen.
Well, so, I do remember that, and you would have thought that they would have learned the lesson from AEW that, they had that pandemic problem with the TNT championship belt that wasn't finished when it was going to get awarded because of the COVID shutdown. So I don't know if it's still possible that the belt maker is behind and they were going to do it for the Women's Dusty Cup, but the belts didn't come in time, so they had to have this awkward ceremony.
It beats the hell out of me, man.
That's the only thing that would make some level of sense to me, but who knows? Like, I mean, no one's kind of... I don't feel like I've seen a story about why this awkward introduction of the championships, and then made even more awkward by the fact that Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez then end up losing them that same night to the team that they were in the finals against.
Yeah.
You know, Team Delicious, a.k.a. Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart.
I was lost. I'm like, they're not going to have them lose already, are they? And then, sure enough, poor Dakota, of course, takes a loss. I mean, you know it wasn't going to be Raquel anyways, but Dakota takes a loss.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, is this going to free up Raquel and Io Shirai? And sure enough, Io goes and challenges Raquel. And we've seen how that's worked out in the past when, you know, someone challenges the winner. You know, Rhea Ripley challenged Charlotte last year. That didn't work out. So,
well, Io has kind of picked her next opponents for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Toni Storm was really the aggressor in that short-lived feud.
Yeah.
Like, I think that was one that I was a little surprised ended as quickly as it did.
That match was startlingly small. Or short. Was that 10 minutes?
Let me see what the runtime was on that. It was not a I did not go to an actual review.
It's like it just ended. And I was totally shocked, like, huh?
Yeah, it really seemed like an awkward 12 minutes. It seemed like an awkward exchange going into the finish. Like, it didn't feel like it was going to be a finish to me. Like, it was one of those matches.
No build to
it. Yeah. That's what seemed awkward to me. Like, I'm not sure that I was as freaked out by the time as by, like, the finish just seemed to come out, like, in not a good way, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, a submission finish really doesn't come out of nowhere more times than not. You know, there's some type of build to someone working over a body part. Even if it was earlier in the match and they were just taking a beating before they, you know, out of the blue slipped in the submission to kind of get out of their predicament. And, yeah, Io really wasn't in that situation, and she hasn't. I think I read somewhere someone said that that was the first time she's used the crossface for the win.
Yeah, she usually does some of her off the top rope stuff, so that would be why.
Yeah, so I think that was the other reason why it was awkward. Like, I'm always cool with a champion having a submission in their arsenal is a finisher, but it's not something that they've really put over for Io. As great as she is, that's not something that they've really concentrated on, and I'm not sure it's going to be particularly useful when she's challenging Raquel Gonzalez either.
I'm wondering if that's why. To give, like, the smaller person has more, like, the chance because she can do this or whatever else. I was seriously wondering if that was part of it because Raquel Gonzalez is so strong she could catch Io Shirai doing stuff. You know, to come up with
that
story.
Considering that Gonzalez was catching Ember Moon, who is, you know, I will just assume that she is heavier than Io Shirai from the looks of both of them. But yeah, if Raquel Gonzalez is stopping Ember Moon from doing head scissors takeovers and things of that nature, no, there's going to be no love for Io in that department, at least a few times. I'm sure that during a match she'll get her over at some point to kind of put over the situation. But, yeah, she's going to get caught a few times before that happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I was like, as soon as that happened with the Raquel Gonzalez stuff, I was like, okay, all right, this makes sense now. And I still think there could have been a better way. Like, why not have a match where you go, all right, so to make this fair, I know you guys won the Dusty Cup, but now we're going to have the two teams who are in the finals are going to fight it out for these, you know, this prize. And then have them lose in the match, you know? And that's fine. But not give them the title, which I was okay with because they did win the Dusty Cup.
Oh, right.
And then lose it immediately, like, huh?
Yeah, that's to me what made it awkward, them losing it immediately. Yeah, again, not to really rehash the beginning of our thing. Like, if they had had them for the past month, or even if it had only been 3 weeks, like, it would have been fine. Like, they would have been walking around as champs for a little bit of time, and then they lose them in a rematch that they were kind of ducking for whatever reason, and then...
Yeah.
Gonzalez moves along in her feud, and Dakota Kai gets to wonder what she's going to do with the rest of her career.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, is Dakota going to move? There's always that, too. I mean, we are coming up on, you know, after WrestleMania call-ups, whatever else. So...
They need, I mean, Chris and I have talked about how much of a mess the women's division is on Raw. Yeah. And I don't think that Dakota Kai is going to be your solution for a main eventer or anything, but she's definitely a better option than most of the ladies that they have up there currently.
Oh. See, that was actually the thought I had about Toni Storm as well. Like,
oh,
why the hell is Toni Storm, like, why did that match happen so fast just to have Toni Storm lose already? Like, and decisively.
That was another one where I was a little bit surprised with how, just in general, I feel like Io Shirai has kind of burned through feuds pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, Raquel Gonzalez is the last one.
Yeah.
So,
Because, like, it doesn't, it's like she kind of sets her sights on someone, they have their match, and maybe a follow-up, and then that's the end of the feud, because Io's won both of the matches. And it's just like, okay. Like, what, yeah, Toni Storm could move along, like, she doesn't need any more time in NXT to develop. You know, like, being down there isn't going to do her any good. And they, again, desperately need help on Raw and even on SmackDown, honestly. Like, SmackDown runs a little bit smoother, but I also think that because they're only writing for, less segments, it always seems to work out better for them.
I'm trying to figure out where the women's division is going, because you have so many. Like, there's no lie being told when they said the NXT women's division is the best in the business. You can't argue that. I understand Bayley, Sasha, and Charlotte and Asuka are up on the main roster. After that, Shayna's not being used correctly. That's it. Like, who am I missing? Maybe Peyton Royce?
Chris and I were... She had some big plea on Raw Talk, but she's had chances, man. And she's had a couple of small chances since she went singles. And it hasn't gone particularly well. Like, her strong suit was supposed to be in the ring, and she hasn't done anything to really even stand out at that point to me.
No. To me, she's actually digressed, which is bad. I mean, I saw her in one of her first road matches. It was her and Asuka, actually. That's why she said she's had a history with Asuka.
Oh.
I guess they started. And I'll tell you what, man, I might have actually done a report on this. It was good. Like, you could see something in Peyton Royce. You really could. And instead, I mean, there's really been hardly anything done with her.
Yeah. And
on the main roster, I should say.
Yeah, they never should have broken up her and Billy Kay, because Billy Kay has had a couple of comedic moments on SmackDown, but she still hasn't done much herself.
She's on TV, at least.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, to me, Peyton's, she could probably have more of a chance than she's had, but she hasn't impressed. Like, Chris and I were wondering why Mandy Rose has been completely shut out. Like, she's someone that to me seems like she has wrestled well, she talks well, she's gorgeous. Like, I don't know what the missing part is with her.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that she was, her and Dana Brooke are like, oh yeah, we want to challenge Asuka. It's just like, huh? Like, you guys can't win tag matches together. Why do you guys think you can win a singles match against one of the most dominant champions ever?
Yeah.
Huh?
But that's what I was going to say about, like, the women's division. Like, you just mentioned Mandy, and then with that, Sonya Deville as well, I guess. Like, Sonya had her personal stuff that she had to take care of.
Oh.
So that made sense when she had to get taken off TV.
Yeah.
And then, but it's like, there's no room. Like, I understand there's always going to be room for Lacey Evans because of the way she looks. But unfortunately, and I guess this doesn't really go, but if you don't have the talent to go in the ring, there's no room for you anymore. And I know Lana's trying. You got to go. Dana Brooke, always trying. Got to go.
Yeah.
Liv Morgan, she tried. Not that great. I guess she's gone.
I'm going to disagree with you with the... I like Ruby and Liv in the ring.
I do. Maybe not in the ring, but... I like Ruby in the ring. I think Liv is getting better. or was getting better.
Well, I think when she had that little singles chance, I'm like, oh, she's looking pretty decent here. And then they're like, oh, we're putting the Riot Squad back together. And she's kind of been off TV since then. I'm like, huh?
Well, yeah, because they put her back together and both of them are gone. So I don't know if one's hurt again and they have nothing for them. And the odd thing with Liv Morgan is they had a whole documentary about her. For no reason.
Yeah. But the two of them are just two of them that maybe to me are underutilized. Like, there's a really short list. Like, so we've come up with, Morgan, Riot, and who, Naomi is at this point criminally underused.
Yeah. It's so odd. That's a very odd one to me. And I hate saying this, but I'm going to. You know that they don't really, like, the Hurt Business is such an anomaly for WWE booking.
Oh.
Outside the Nation, like, I guess New Day would break that streak too, I guess. But, like, factions of black people, that's usually one, that's always how it goes. And then, two, it's like, well, that's it. Like, that's usually it. They're just together. They're just a blob. So, it's like, Naomi,
she could really use some time with the head of the table.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea, really.
I didn't come up with that. I saw it floated out there somewhere, and I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, yeah, she's one of the few main roster women that I'm like, yeah, I don't understand why. At a minimum, get more TV time.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, you can only have, there are only so many people that can be champion, and I don't have a problem with Sasha and Bayley being ahead of her in the pecking order.
Of course.
But A, it seems like she could still slot in there and change things up some. But hopefully that's what Bianca does moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, especially because I saw this on Raw, Rhea Ripley's showing up eventually. Nikki Cross hasn't been seen forever. Alexa Bliss is, you know, the pixie thing. So it's like, they're eventually going to start cutting people. They got to, I would think. But
yeah, either that or you still have that thing where you... at this point, I'm still at the point where I'm like, man, if I get sent back down to NXT, that is not... Even if I get a pay cut, that is not a bummer, man.
Yeah.
Especially for the ladies. Like, or even look at... Fandango and Tyler Breeze have still gotten more TV time on NXT, even if they're only on every third week or something. They get way more TV time on NXT than they were on the main roster. Yeah. Like, so I don't know if some of those ladies would benefit from, you know, everyone having a little change of location going on if they do bring up the Tony Storms. And who else did we suggest? Dakota Kai.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd have some room maybe to bump a couple of those ladies down to NXT if you wanted to, and see if you could do anything with them to help kind of get them rebooted.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to, but... Yeah, cuts is the other option, honestly. But a lot of those other people, like you said, Dana Brooke, I'll mention the Kent State thing all the time since she went there. But how many years has she been on the main roster now?
Oh, I know.
You know, it's been 3 or 4 years that she's been on the main roster. And it's just like, okay, like that's... You know, if you haven't really done anything at this point, or like, I feel like she's had a championship match, but it wasn't even like a we're going to take it seriously championship match.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
So, I mean, she couldn't even get in on tag team action with Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
Not a good look. And yeah, Lacey Evans didn't do anything with any of her chances. And as fun as Billie Kay is, she hasn't really shown, like you said, you need to be able to do both. And she's a worse wrestler than Peyton Royce.
Yes. There's no arguing that fact, yes. So, but we actually got totally off the subject, by the way.
We
were talking about AEW.
Well, no, we were talking, we had moved on to NXT and EO Tony Storm's short feud is where that stuff all arose out of, honestly. So I do feel like we've kind of covered the women NXT more than well enough at this point. Unless you do want to talk about some Xia Li and Caden Carter.
It was fine. It's just whatever. Boa finally did something, although he looked like kind of stupid. it's just like Xia's cool. They're getting, is it Caden Carter, right?
Yeah.
Casey Catanzaro, that's right.
Yep.
They're getting her on TV. She's got a unique look. I don't know if she's that great in the ring, but she looks cool as hell. We're getting like a women's Mortal Kombat match, basically. You got Xia Li versus Caden Carter, you know?
Oh.
She kind of looks like a Mortal Kombat character. So,
cool. Yeah. I think you can tell that she, because I want to say that she was the one that was a point guard for in college.
Oh, okay.
for a fairly prominent basketball school, if I'm not mistaken. Oh. So, you know, I think you can tell that she has an innate athletic talent to her, which I think helps make up for maybe some other, you know, I mean, she really hasn't been wrestling that long. I want to say that she'd barely been in wrestling when she did the, she was in the, one of the Mae Young classics.
Yeah.
So
not to anything like herself.
Yeah. Like to kind of be in kind of at the ground level and still be doing and improving at that level, I think is kind of good news for her in the long run. But yeah, for now, she still has some work to do.
That's fine. That's why that's technically developmental still. But
yeah. And that's also why Xia Li is going to beat her up too.
Yeah. But AEW was a, God damn it. NXT was a good show though. Like a lot of little things happened, which I forgot to look up. The Imperium Timothy Thatcher thing goes deeper than the tag match, that tag title match. There's something else going on. I have no idea what they're talking about though.
Yeah, because they did specifically call him out for some reason that I'm not familiar with. I didn't, because was he in NXT UK for a while?
I don't remember Thatcher being in NXT UK, but he might have been.
Okay. I'm not sure. You know, that it just hasn't been a brand that I've watched for them. Like, they keep on sending people over that I like, but I still haven't really watched it a lot.
Alright, so this one's probably going to be lost on you. I mean, there's not much more to say about that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But, seeing Jordan Devlin talking about him showing up, like, finally. Because a match with Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar should be insane.
If they
do that for NXT TakeOver and unify, like, you know, unify the championship, whatever, that's gonna be gangbusters. And it could steal the show. But every time I say that, the match is like 5 minutes and it sucks. So, I saw that, And then when he said, it looked like he was in airports. I was like, oh, okay, that's what it is. But then when he said travel bans lifted, I was like, hell yes. Because everyone kind of forgot Jordan Devlin never lost a cruiserweight title. They just took it away from him.
Well, yeah, when you're stuck on your island for an entire year, like, they needed to do something. Like, I don't blame them one iota for doing what they did. And I guess that it still does put Santos Escobar in that odd situation again, though. How's where, that? Like, why is he a heel taking on another heel again?
Yeah, it's true.
It makes sense for Jordan Devlin to be pissed off for the title, but he's also a heel. At least last I knew, Jordan Devlin was a heel.
Yeah, he's kind of unlikable, like in a professional way. So it's very good.
Yeah, I mean, he just has an unlikable face.
Yeah, yeah, but he's always been a jerk. That's the other thing. Even with the NXT UK tournament, he was a jerk in that. And, like, not a lot of people over here had heard of him. And I was like, who's this fucking guy? Like, okay. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it'll be kind of interesting, but I'll be more than happy to get Santos away from Karrion Kross. Sure.
Well, they took care of that with the end of the show.
Yes, they did.
Which is where we all knew that was going to go anyways. Like, I guess that was one of the problems I had with NXT. I never once for a second thought Adam Cole was going to win. Just.
Oh.
No, I had no confidence he was going to win. He was going to become the new champion. So I guess that kind of killed some of the drama of the match for me. Because I was like, I never took any of the near fall seriously. Because I was like, all right. Like, cool. It's really close. But
yeah, I'm with you. Like, I didn't think that he had a snowball's chance in hell of winning that matchup.
No. And in the end went just like you thought. Kyle O'Reilly shows up. Okay. And... but then you knew something was up because they did that close in camera shot on Finn Balor. And I'm like, oh, Karrion Kross is there. And this is why I love this version of Finn. He just goes, what took you so long? And then they show Karrion Kross. And one, holy shit, Karrion Kross is way bigger than Finn Balor is.
Yeah, Finn's still a pretty small guy. You know, I mean, that guy is ripped to high heavens. I think his abs have abs.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. He is still not the biggest guy. So, yeah, and Karrion Kross, I mean, he's not, I don't think he's main roster big, but he's big enough to look like a giant in NXT.
Yeah, I think Kross is probably only 6'4", probably, but down there is gigantic. So, yeah, you're exactly right on that one. But, no, I was just glad they pulled the trigger on that. Trying to figure out, can they possibly have Karrion Kross lose? You know, it'd be kind of weird.
Yeah.
But then to have Finn lose, you're like, well, what's he going to do now? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they're both in weird situations. Whoever loses that feud is going to be in a weird situation. It wouldn't surprise me just because even if Kross isn't quite as big as some of those other guys in the main roster, I do think that Vince probably likes his body type more than some of the other guys on NXT.
You know exactly what Vince is going to like. So, you know?
Yeah, he won't mind taking a pass at... why am I brain Scarlet? I don't know why that was hard to remember considering that she's kept her names between companies.
Well, they did drop the Boudreaux, so I guess they're just going with Scarlet now, you know?
Yeah. So. But yeah, still should have been able to remember the name a little bit easier than that.
Eh.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I could see Cross losing the feud. I mean, he did. He's one of the few guys that can say he had the championship. Obviously, he had to give it up for injury reasons, but you can still sell it on the main roster as he was champion. And then he beat Keith Lee, who's already at least looked good for the most part on TV.
Yeah, wherever he went. So,
yeah, he got COVID and hasn't been on TV since, basically.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, him and I mean, I know that we've seen, or at least I'm assuming that's the case, because I know that Mia Yim said she had it.
Okay, so then, yeah, so.
So I just, and I guess maybe if he didn't have it, I would assume that the close contact would rule you out for at least 7 days. So yeah, but that's still weird that I think he's been on TV once or twice, but he's kind of been MIA during this whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is weird, but no, it's, I don't know. I enjoyed wrestling this week because I only watched 15 minutes of Raw. Unfortunately, fortunately, it was the Shane McMahon stuff. That was awesome.
Oh.
And then, oh boy, that was scary, dude. And then,
it wasn't scary. It just seemed stupid to me.
No, I honestly thought something was wrong. Like, and apparently I wasn't the only one. There were a lot of people who were asking if that was like a medical thing going on with him. Why he kept losing his train of thought.
He
just loses his train of thought. So.
Yeah, I guess at some point I thought that it was on purpose and I stopped. Well, A, I don't think I was ever worried. But B, I guess when they did it for like the third time, I'm like, you have to be doing this. You know, the first time you're like, this is weird. The second time you're like, are we getting a theme here? And then he did it the third time, and I'm like, okay, this had to have been on purpose.
Yeah.
Is I guess, the phase that I went through. It was not on purpose?
No. No, he was just forgetting what he was doing.
Oh.
Yeah. No, none of that was on purpose.
Well, I thought I saw a story about him... the real reason that happened, and I clicked on it, and then it was a blank story or something. And I don't feel like I saw an explanation.
Yeah, no, he just kept losing his train of thought. That's all it was.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, goddamn, pull the plug, man. It's your kid. Don't embarrass him. But, you know, it sucks. I mean, that's gotta suck. So,
oh.
Just totally forgetting all your lines, but yeah.
Yeah.
No,
it's a bad night at the office.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen in NXT at least. So, and we'll have to figure out what we're going to do for the TakeOver shows. Since there's two of them this year.
Yeah, I guess that is the big announcement that maybe we should close on here. Yeah, two-night TakeOver. What is it, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yes, on Peacock. Which is not going to be that easy to get on. It's not the simple... use your WWE account. So you have to sign up for a Peacock account and all this bullshit.
I'm already in, so I don't care.
Yeah, well.
Because there are a couple of shows that we watch off of NBC. The wife watches Days off of Peacock.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're already signed up and ready to roll. I'm just trying to figure out how my $10 is going to transfer from the WWE network to Peacock. Please make it that I don't have to do anything. That's all I'm asking for.
No,
because they're gonna take my money. Like I'm literally just gonna be paying my $10 to someone else. Which, whatever, man. Fine.
Oh yeah, none of that matters. So, hell, just well, never mind. I'm set up.
Yeah.
But no, Dad. I was trying to think what else happened on NXT. Not a lot. A
dumb no.
distraction loss for grizzled young veterans. Like, okay, it's kind of dumb. That's really all I can think of, though.
Yeah, because it was mostly the ladies. Pete Dunne, Jake Atlas was whatever. Yeah, it was the ladies. It was ladies' night, honestly, along with that main event.
Yes.
I mean, I guess we got. Oh yeah, because you mentioned the tag match, but there wasn't much to that. And we had the Bronson Reed LA Knight run in.
Yeah. And that's good. He's going to wrestle next week, but I wonder if it's going to be Eva Marie. Yeah, Eva Marie. Something goes wrong, then he can't wrestle. Something goes wrong, you can't wrestle, that sort of thing. Remember when she was doing that?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it'll be something like that. So.
Yeah. Having Bronson Reed take that L seems a little harsh to me, but
it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, that guy seems to get a little bit of traction, and then it's off for whatever reason, and I don't completely know why. Because I think he seems to do well in the segments that they've given him. But I mean, anytime you're up against a debuting wrestler, like the debuting wrestler's got to win, right? I mean, it seems like a bad plan to have them lose. I mean, I know that it's happened before, but it still doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
No. I was just trying to think of like who they could have used. Like, who are their jobbers? Like, where the hell is Kona Reeves?
Oh, he has been MIA for quite some time at this point.
Like, drag him back out.
Well, I mean, Jake Atlas is there. I guess Leon Ruff is going to be a jobber at some point.
Yeah, well, Shane Strickland. Isaiah Swerve Scott's kind of a jobber. Like, he really doesn't win that much.
It's
just a goddamn shame.
Yeah, he changes personality to try to shake that and is stuck in a feud with Leon Ruff now. So, I mean, his change in attitude has not helped him blossom at all on the... On the roster.
No, and it's like he can obviously talk.
So yeah.
Let him. Like, just let him talk and that'll help.
And I like him as a wrestler too. Like I don't know what the complete story is there, honestly.
No. But no, so there's I just totally lost my train of thought. I know we're talking about Isaiah Swerve Scott, but
I will say that was pretty much it though. Like those were the only other little segments that dotted NXT.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah,
because it really was it was ladies heavy with the championship match. Well, two ladies championship matches, and then the Xia Li Caden Carter match. Like on top of that.
So,
this one really went to the ladies. We're never going to see three great women's match, or at least good women's matches, on AEW programming for the foreseeable future.
Right. I think it's possible. They have the talent.
Yet again, their roster is big enough, but it does seem like they've lacked some experience. And... because the WWE still hasn't, what's her name? Sarah Stock? Is she still over there?
No. I don't know where she is. I just thought of that. I don't know. Serena Deeb is hurt.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no. I was thinking who was in charge of the NXT women. Because it was...
Oh, Sarah D'Amato?
Yeah.
Sarah D'Amato.
Sarah D'Amato. Okay, yeah. It still seems like she's NXT's not-so-secret weapon to having a better division, honestly.
No. But.
So.
Hey, you know, it is what it is with that. Like, I think we brought up women twice, only because it was actually even more atrocious than it had been. So now it's like, okay, we can just go back to, well, actually they have a pretty good women's main event next week, or main event next week, excuse me, not women's main event. Got a pretty good thing going. Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt in a, was it no holds barred match, I think?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, that one should be good. Like, I mean, I think we talked about them earlier that I don't have a problem with either of those two.
Nope.
So, you know, it's getting better in AEW, but they still have a while to go.
Yeah.
So what beer did you end up drinking during this fine podcast?
Oh, it was the RJ Rockers Hazy India Pale Ale. I didn't know they made one of these. So they make my all-time favorite beer. They're out of Spartanburg, South Carolina. It's called Son of a Peach. So if you like a peach wheat, you're in good hands.
Yeah, mine. I went double sour this week. Pretentious Barrel House, truculent American sour with ginger and lime. It is Moscow Mule influenced.
Oh.
And I've got to admit, I think the ginger might be a little bit strong for me in this one. Not that big of a Moscow Mule fan either, so I guess that shouldn't be completely surprising. Which makes me wonder why I bought the 4-pack.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you.
Well, I guess I bought the 4-pack because I really like the truculent with cucumber and lime is outstanding. So that's why I'm blaming it on the ginger and not the lime. But it just might be the ginger-lime combo, like, that's kind of throwing me off a little bit. Because the cucumber and lime version is like a perfect summer beer. Like, it's super light. It is really drinkable. It's really quenches your thirst. Like, I really love, I think that's why I got that. And not thinking about the fact, I don't think I was thinking about the fact I'm not a big Moscow Mule fan. I like some mixed drinks, but I just don't. That one's not really on my board.
Now, Moscow Mules were like old, and all of a sudden they just made a comeback. Like, what? Why?
Well, I'm glad that some stuff made a comeback. Like, because I know that the one distillery down here, I think it was Watershed, that they started with a gin. And that was something that my older brother started me down the road of drinking gin way back when I was 16. And I've had something of an affinity for it since. And they make a really good gin, too. But I haven't really had a Tom Collins. Yeah, he had me drink Tom Collins when I was up there for a Pitt-Penn State game.
Oh.
Why he decided on that, I don't completely know, but you know, it's kind of been a favorite. So yeah, I do like some mixed drinks every now and again, but yeah, again, Moscow Mule, not really on the list. So the other pretentious one was better on Tuesday's show, but hey, you know, I only got three left to drink. You know, it's still pretty good. Yeah. You know, like, even the stuff that I don't enjoy these days is still pretty good. So, it's better than drinking a Bud Light still.
just about anything's better than that, so.
Okie dokie. With that, I'm at DeFrango11. That's at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and, download us anywhere you like, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora. We're there. Download us. Thank you very much. Have a good night, grandkids.